Hello, welcome to this First Thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Ronizone Media and Ronizone.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to First Thoughts for Red Handed. My name is Jeff Roney, and I am joined by the lovely
Colleen Roney.
And I have a lot of computers in front of me.
I have
the old one, which is over to the left of me, and I have the new one, which I'm putting all the stuff on. So this is kind of weird.
A little bit.
So anyway, Red Handed, Ruby's story. It's great.
Epic.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So
that was ridiculously good.
Lots of surprises, lots of things
twists.
I was incorrect on, but
you know
still
what?
Fun.
But you know what? They led us down that primrose path purposely, I'm sure.
Yep.
So it was just it was really, really, really good episode. And so, next week's looks phenomenal, too. Oh, my gosh.
Well, we saw the first 10 minutes of this last week.
At the Paley Fest, yeah. So, in fact, it was funny because I'm watching them going, dude, we've already seen this. What are they doing? And then I went, oh, wait, no. We got to see it at the Paley Fest.
Yeah.
Other people, it was brand new.
So the first, just some little weird things. Nepal was mentioned, and I thought of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
So, and then lemurs.
I love the fact that she didn't know what a lemur was. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I think overall this episode really, it kind of challenged a lot of people's thoughts about Ruby. And I knew that it would happen.
Oh, yeah.
And because a lot of people thought that she was just one-dimensional, hee-hee-ha-ha. You know, long legs, high heel shoes, you know, red lipstick. That was it.
Yeah.
And I knew that they were
hiding something.
I knew that. So, you know, and that's why all these people just, Ruby, I can't stand it. So, I just wish they, you know, whatever. I knew that the story was there and they delivered. So,
that's awesome.
But yeah, the lemurs, it is interesting that they reflect light. And it looks like they're glowing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we reflect what we are around and what we look at. So it's, anyway, it's interesting. Just think about it. So,
honest to goodness, the first thing I thought of when I heard him say that was penguins of Madagascar and King Julian the ring-tailed lemur.
Yep.
Sorry, that's just what I thought of. Anyway.
Oh, and the old computer is just whining away over there.
Yes.
And one of these days, you're going to whine your last whine. So
yes, it will.
Keep it up. Anyway, so as we go through these notes, obviously, I wrote them at the time I thought it. So it's going to. So red repels wolves.
Yes.
So says Granny.
So says Granny.
You know, and the first question I had is, well, how does she know?
Well, you know. Yeah, that was my thing is, or was that just like a, you know, something to tell Ruby or Red to, you know, make her not worry?
And,
honestly,
I wrote down on my notes, Granny's husband? Question mark?
See, now when she said that, I'm going, no, you know what? She was the one who was awake all night in the chair.
But what I'm saying is, I just, I just wrote that down. So anyway, we know that red, it kind of irritates bulls, right? So that's why they use that.
Yeah, very likely.
But red repels wolves, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
That's what I'm saying. It never went into my head that it was Granny's husband. I really thought it was Granny herself.
Yeah. She looked badass with that crossbow.
Dude.
I got to tell you.
When we saw her, I was like, don't mess with Granny.
Well, and truthfully, it wasn't only Ruby's story, but it was Granny's
story. It was Granny's
well.
Story, too, yeah.
So they both kind of stepped out.
Yeah, they did.
You know.
They did.
So Peter and the Wolf.
That was the other thing. When she said his name was Peter, I went, ooh, Peter and the Wolf, which is a great story. But anyway.
And I just thought it was interesting, too, that Granny said that business is booming.
Mm-hmm.
Business is booming in a town where there's no new people coming in.
Right.
It was incredible. So,
sorry. Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. Mm-hmm.
So, now, I thought I heard Granny call Ruby Liza.
Okay, what she was saying.
Dressed like Liza.
Yeah, she was basically saying you look like a drag queen, like a Liza Minnelli drag queen.
All right. Okay.
She wasn't saying that's her name. She goes, you look like Liza dressed up on Saturday Night drag queen. She was basically calling her Liza Minnelli.
Well, the more the episode went on, and then I caught the Norman Bates comment.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I missed those comments in the Paley Fest because people were laughing, and I'm going, shh, we can't hear.
Right.
So, but I was glad that we got to see that again. And when she said that, I was like, that's awesome. That was very funny.
So Norman Bates was about a person who was one way at one point acted as themselves, but then became something else and actually became a killer.
Yeah.
Dressed differently and put on another persona.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A costume.
Yeah.
So
that is an interesting reference and a very good catch.
It was interesting that she kept saying, I don't want to become like you.
Right.
I don't want to dress like, you know, that.
Right.
So, I mean, and that came back again. It was mentioned again. Turn into you.
Mm-hmm.
Become you.
Right.
And so, you know, it was interesting later on when we pick up the wolf thing. It was that whole idea. So.
Well, yeah.
I saw the Catman again, for what it's worth. The Catman loves Granny's Diner.
Gosh, I so didn't even see him. Didn't even recognize him. That's funny. I wasn't paying attention to him. I was really paying attention
to the poor guy that looks for loose change in the payphone. The Catman is always there.
Okay.
Now, last week, I saw this younger couple. Mm-hmm. I don't know who they were.
Yeah.
Maybe the Catman's grandkids. I don't know. So, anyway, the Catman was there. So, I heard... I heard a line that was very similar to Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I think it was Granny said that this wolf is more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. And I think she said it in the meeting.
That town meeting.
The town meeting.
Yeah.
And actually, it reminded me a little of Jaws.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No one was offering any money.
Right.
But it kind of reminded me of that.
Right. Well, and actually, there is the movie Red Riding Hood that came out last year, I think it was, with Gary Oldman, Amanda Seyfried, and Billy Burke. And it was actually really good. I liked it a lot. I've seen it a couple times, and I really liked it. And there were parts of it that were very reminiscent of that in this episode.
And the connection to that movie and Once Upon a Time, besides Red Riding Hood, is?
The Wolf?
No. Besides that?
Let's see. Well, Twilight, because Twilight was filmed up there. No.
Amanda was in Big Love with...
Oh, you're right. Okay.
Jennifer Goodwin.
Well, but then there's the other connection, which happens to be that Twilight is filmed in the same location.
Yep.
And Billy Burke is Bella Swan's dad in Twilight series.
He was in this tonight?
No, he wasn't in it. I'm saying he was in the movie.
Got it.
That's the connection to...
Got it.
Anyway.
Perfect. Okay, so, and then Granny mentioned the Second Ogres War.
Yes,
which
she did.
Now it goes on record as there were many
ogre wars.
Well, there wasn't just one ogre war.
It was multiples. We don't know how many. Right. There may only have been two, but there's definitely been more than one.
Right.
Which, okay, so she was a child in the second ogre war. How does that compare? How does she compare then to, say, Balefire?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So is she younger than Balefire would be? Is she older than Balefire would be? Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because which ogre war was that we saw where Rumpelstiltskin became Rumpelstiltskin?
That's a good question.
Would that have been the second ogre war, perhaps?
From what I remember, all Jane Espenson said is there were many.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure she said that in it.
Yeah. Okay.
Either that or Adam Horowitz.
Somebody
said it.
And there might have been many. I'm just saying, okay.
Right.
We know there's been more than one. I'm just going to leave it at that.
So then there was this idea that you don't kill it, you just hide.
Yeah, that was Granny's big thing.
Right.
Which at the time we didn't know why she would say that, but now I understand that.
So, I mean, but that's kind of gone on and on and on. You know, Rumpelstiltskin was another, that was another thing. It was the same type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is you run.
Mm-hmm.
You don't confront. You just run.
Right.
We don't want to take care of the issue. We don't want to face it. You know, we just run.
We just run.
Or we hide.
Right.
So I think that whole idea is, you know, over and over.
Yeah, it's possible.
So, let's see here.
Well, but what cracked me up, and people who've seen this on YouTube will know, the way she said it, hide your kids, hide your wives, or the way she said it, it made me think of the Bed Intruder. Sorry.
Okay.
I can't help it.
All righty.
I thought she was going to break into song for a second.
Nope.
Just kidding. I didn't think that.
Nope. So, Hero came up again.
Yeah.
Red
mm-hmm.
said, we could be heroes.
Yes.
Let's kill the wolf. We'll be heroes.
Yeah.
And, you know, then this idea, jumping around a little bit, but later on the idea came about doing things and you forgot. So.
Doing things and then you forgot?
Right. You forgot. You're in some type of a haze, right? It was brought up with David toward the end. How did I don't remember. The phone call, I don't know. And the same thing with Red,
yeah.
Is, you know, all these things happen. You know, and even the discussion with Peter. It's like, I don't remember that happening. And she goes, well, maybe you forgot, you know. And the only thing that came up was when Snow drank that potion. I mean, there are some things that could cause you to forget. And I was thinking, well,
yeah.
You know, so it's not too far-fetched in the storyline for things like that. But obviously, when Red, you know, was under this, when she changed into the wolf, that she forgot, obviously, you know. And I kept thinking about American Werewolf in London a lot during this episode because it just this idea of that this the werewolf, the guy that used to be in the Dr. Pepper commercial, David Naughton, he fell in love with this nurse at the hospital where he went, ended up because of the attack. And so he kept changing into a wolf, but she still loved him when he wasn't a wolf, obviously.
Right.
And there's a really interesting scene toward the end where the wolf looked at her, and you could kind of tell that it was him in a way, and that he loved her. And so it was that kind of thing. And I thought for a second that they were going to do that, that they were going to leave Peter as is, and maybe, you know, Red would not kill him. Obviously,
right.
That's not what happened. So
no, it's not. And it really surprised me that Red actually did end up killing him because she, quote unquote, loved him.
Right.
So why would she, even as the wolf, but I guess because she was in such a haze, she didn't know. And honestly, when they were showing the whole David wandering around the woods and he was kind of like, you know, lost in space there, I knew that they wanted us to think that he was the wolf.
Right.
But then I'm going, no, I'm not falling for that. I'm not falling for that.
Well, yeah.
But I was really surprised that she would kill him knowing that she loved him. But then I guess what I'm saying is, you know, in most of the other werewolf movies you see, they know that they are, you know what I mean?
Right.
They kind of, when they're human, they don't know. But when they're the wolf, they know that they still, you know, care about a person. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. She didn't have a sign like Granny had a sign, you know, on her body with the scratch marks or whatever.
So. And that's the thing is that, okay, so the way I understood it, if I understood what Granny was saying, is that her, when she was telling Mary, she says that her mother was a wolf.
Right.
And her grandfather is the one who came and left the mark on her and then came back later. So her grandfather, it was her grandfather who was the original wolf or whatever, or at least a wolf back generations. Right. And then when he and Granny got together, which is how Granny would know that Red would repel him, wolves, then they had a daughter, which is her Red's mother. And I don't think she had to be bitten to be a wolf. I think she ended up, because normally that's how a werewolf is created, is by a bite. But I don't think that's what happened. I think that by genetics. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Ruby comes from a line of wolves, her mother and then her grandfather. And that's the reason why. Anyway.
Yeah. So, okay, a U2 song.
Yeah.
Was mentioned.
Okay.
She says, I'm going with or without you. I say, I got to write that down.
Oh.
You too. God bless him. Okay.
Well.
So then Red and Mary go to hunt the wolf while he's sleeping.
Right.
In the daytime.
Right.
Instead of at night.
Right.
So they're kind of giving it a, I don't know, like a cat or something. You know what I mean? Something that sleeps during the day.
Well, and I think wolves kind of do.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think they kind of are more... They're not completely nocturnal, but they do tend to sleep more during the day. I could be wrong.
So, another thing I notice is I think it's the first time where we see an actual body mark that's the same from Fairy Tale Land and Storybrooke. When Granny showed her arm, it had those
scratch
marks. Mm-hmm. And because we haven't seen that, you know, initially we thought that they're completely different. And then the ring was the same, and you know, there's little things here and there. But now we actually see, you know, it's the same. So
But what was interesting about that, now that you said that, is that it also, going back to what I was saying earlier, is that Granny herself had apparently been bitten and was turned, but she said that it was, she could track her by smell,
right?
But it was fading. So obviously as she gets older, the older she was getting. So again, for all we know, Granny could have been the one that killed those men out in the front, in front of the well, like when Snow and Red were getting the water. Remember?
Right.
So, because Granny was the one who was awake, Red was asleep. Because I was thinking about that, going, well, wait, how did she get out? Mm-hmm. But if Granny still has some of those powers, and she was basically trying to protect Red from being captured or what have you.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting, too, that Granny said a silver-tipped arrow would stop her.
Right.
But what was interesting is that that's typically silver bullet for a vampire. Right. So I thought that was kind of...
No.
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm.
What?
Silver bullets for a werewolf.
I thought it was for a vampire.
No.
Oh.
That's a stake in the heart, honey.
Oh.
Or a cross.
I'm on... Okay.
Or running
That's
water.
Where it is. I don't know why I got those mixed up.
Or sunlight.
Okay, yeah. Okay, never mind then.
Okay.
Okay, so silver-tipped arrow for werewolf. All right, that makes sense.
Kind of a little nod to a silver bullet.
A little bit,
same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so... The whole David story mirrored the Peter story there for a minute, that they were both thought that they committed a crime, that it was them. And so they were both being followed, pursued, searched for.
Well, yeah, only because But see, the thing is that Peter wasn't being pursued by anybody other than Red and Snow. Right, they figured out. Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
All right.
I mean, on the other side, it was Emma and Ruby.
Oh yeah, that's
looking
true.
For David.
Looking for David.
So is that same type of thing?
Trying to I guess you're right. Secretly trying to find him. And I still think it's interesting that, you know, Ruby just was like, I hear him. And I'm like going, you hear him? How the heck do you hear him?
It did happen pretty quickly. But, you know, I mean,
no, you know what it is.
These are not 2-hour movies. Or
No. But here's the thing. Think about that. She's a werewolf.
Right.
They have ridiculous good hearing. Right. So she probably heard him breathing. But she doesn't realize that.
Okay.
She's got that power. I mean, Henry alluded to that.
True, right. I just wish they would have alluded to that before. Like, you know, she's working and then... Do you hear that?
She's done that. What? I thought she did at one point in time. Not so much did you hear that, but she was able to hear things that were, like, not said directly to her.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it.
Okay.
It's been alluded to before. Mm-hmm. I also like the fact that, you know, we all had this thing, oh, it's Dr. Whale, and he looked like he was kind of a lech and blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, for a minute there, I was like, well, maybe he is going to be the big bad wolf after all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, no, it's not going to be him. It's going to be Granny. Because that would just make more sense. And then it turned out to be Red herself, and I was like, what? That was a great twist. Very good twist.
So the wizard cloak, now I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, but I understand that Harry Potter had a cloak.
It was
invisible. That made him invisible.
Yes.
Okay. So in a way, roundabout way, we now have another cloak with magical power.
Yes.
Was Rumple involved?
Don't know.
You know.
Rumple, fairies. It's
red cloak.
Don't know.
You know, so who?
Yeah,
who
he wasn't in this episode at all, and that just like threw me for a loop.
Who
too.
Do we know that could possibly understand and protect against werewolves? Just throwing it out there.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm just something to consider.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's possible. There's somebody who maybe will figure. I'm sure that'll come to light at some point in time. I'm sure
and,
it will.
And I was so happy because I love our deputies, and Ruby was a deputy.
She was.
That was really neat.
She was. She was really good. You know what I liked about that whole thing was, you know, I thought it was very funny, the exchange between Emma and Mary Margaret when they saw Ruby standing there at the bus stop, and Dr. Whale took a hike and. Then they're like, oh, where are you going to go? I don't know. The bus, well, it doesn't just kind of come. You got to figure out where you're going. And then Mary Margaret's, oh, you could stay with us. And Emma looks at her like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was very cute. It was very funny.
Now, okay. So let's talk about the box.
Okay. Well, but what I was going to say is, so Ruby starts, and then I like the part where not only does she go, okay, so she's staying with them. We don't see her staying with them. But we do see her getting a little bit of a job there with Emma in the sheriff's office.
Right.
Being kind of the go-to girl. And I love that Henry is like, you know, she doesn't know what she's capable of. That was another interesting twist that he said. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that I think she used those skills that she has that she doesn't even realize she had. And I mean, yeah, it was kind of a weird thing, you know, when she was out there in the woods, you know, or out by the river, by the toll bridge, you know, digging around, and Emma's like, find anything unusual. And then that's when she ended up finding that heart thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if there was a part of her instinct that could smell the heart, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Possibly. Yep. Well, okay. So I did like... How, but I don't remember them alluding to the fact that she could hear really good or find things really well. The only thing I remember is when she walked by and Mary Margaret was kind of, you know, looking at David and he goes, do you want me to pull the, you know, tables together?
Yeah, do you want to sit over here? That was a recent episode. I'm talking at the beginning. I could swear I remember having an episode where she walked up and made a comment about something that they were talking about, and she wasn't even anywhere near it.
OK. Okay.
I vaguely remember making that comment. I do. I do. Right. I can't remember what episode it was.
Okay.
But anyway. So
I did enjoy. I did enjoy that she did kind of dig in deep, and she was kind of natural on the phone, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she goes, I can't do anything. And then Emma's, you know, well, what do you mean? You know, you're pretty good on the phone. It's just, you know, that's a great gift. I mean, you know, I need some help around here, you know, and then situations. And then they went out together and found David. So, I mean, they was kind of discovering what she could do. And
go ahead.
The box, that was, I guess it really kind of showed her.
Did you recognize the box at all?
No.
That was the Huntsman's box.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident that was the box that the queen gave to the Huntsman to bring back Snow White's heart in.
Are you sure?
It looked extremely similar to the one that is used in the Disney movie, which we commented on when we saw that episode.
It looked like a jewelry box to me.
Yeah. I saw the Huntsman's box.
Okay.
I think you'll have to do some screen caps and comparisons back to the episode where we saw Graham die, because that box is in that episode, and I'm pretty positive it's the same box.
Okay. So we have a heart and a box.
A human heart and a box.
Now, you know, my thing is, remember we talked about it before, I don't think the heart's in Regina's / Evil Queen's heart vault. Those are not hearts. Those are souls or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that they found a heart in a box that was not, number one, in the heart vault. And number two, it wasn't in a heart vault box. It was in a different looking box.
That's why I'm saying it's the Huntsman's box.
Okay.
Because the Huntsman's box was very different. It looked exactly like the one from the Disney movie. And it was very different than the ones we saw from the heart vault. And guess who I think's heart is in that box? It's not going to be Catherine's.
Okay.
Because I think that's just too easy.
Mm.
So I don't believe that's going to be Catherine's heart. What I think it's going to be is somebody else they don't know, and it's going to somehow be genetically linked to Regina. Because guess who I think it is? I think it's Daddy's heart.
Okay.
She had to take out the heart.
Well,
she had to put it somewhere, right?
She had to burn it, though.
Did she have to burn it?
I don't think. I don't know.
I'm just saying, wouldn't be surprised.
What's in that mug?
What?
I'm worried.
My caffeine-free Diet Coke.
Okay. All right.
I'm just telling you this. Look, the crazy theory or not, my theory is that's going to turn out to be Regina's dad's heart.
Okay.
Queen Regina. Evil Queen Regina. It's going to be Father Henry's heart. But I'm telling you.
She put it in the fire, and that's what caused a dark curse.
I understand that. Somehow, it's going to end up being Regina's father's heart.
Oh, all right. Even though dad's dead and nothing passes over.
Regina Mills.
All right.
Okay. I'm just saying. She had to cut out the heart of the thing you love most. I know it burned in the fire. I get that. But I'm just telling you, somehow it's going to end up. That's my theory.
Okay.
I could be swayed some other way.
And elk. I wonder if anybody knows that.
You know what? We won't say what it is, but if anybody knows what an elk is, that would be awesome.
Maybe Alira might know.
Yeah, maybe.
She's pretty sharp, boy.
Okay. We'll see if anybody knows what that is. And the thing about theories. So, anyway, what I'm saying is my theory, the theory which is mine, and what it is, too.
Right. Okay. So the box had a heart in it.
Yes, a human heart.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. And, you know, obviously, okay. So, I don't think that Mary Margaret put her fingerprints in there. First of all, it's done.
I do.
Okay.
I don't think she did it. I don't think she realizes she did it, because I believe that's actually Snow White's fingerprints. Do you see what I'm saying? Snow White put her fingerprints in that box. We're going to find this out. I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now. This is my theory.
All right.
My theory.
Okay.
This is my theory.
All right.
I believe that Mary Margaret's prints are actually Snow White's prints. Of course, we know that to be true. Okay. But secondly, I believe those prints in that box, because that box is not a normal box. That's a Regina box. Okay. And an Evil Queen Regina box. And I'm telling you, I think that Regina... we're going to find out that Mary Margaret, or actually Snow White, put her fingerprints in that box because she may have been, she somehow may have been the one who put the heart in there. Snow White.
Okay. We will, we'll find out.
We will.
All right.
Crazy theory, but I'm telling you, I wouldn't put it past them, because that would make so much sense, especially after the previews we saw next week. Come on.
Okay. And, you know, I am sticking to things that I've seen and things that, you know, but hey, I've been wrong before, you know, and I have to kind of, okay, fair enough. Yep. It could be. So.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, I think it was a great episode. I think the interesting thing is the final moment that, that Ruby had with Granny.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
It was really good.
And I really liked that it was almost Granny kind of rubbed off on her a little bit, and her lipstick was very muted, and there was no hat, and she kind of resembled a more tempered
Ruby. Subdued Ruby, yeah.
And I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, that was good.
And when Granny said, well, I would only give this to somebody who loved me back. Mm. It was really, really...
It's a great line.
It was neat. So,
well, and I also, too, liked the moment with Mary and Granny when they were telling Red she had to run. Yeah, and she was right. Like... when she finally realized that was... Megan just knocked that out of the park.
Yeah.
I mean, that was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Her just her sobbing, you know, and that... I mean, sobbing because she realized who she was, what she had done. And then to top it off, now she had to leave. I mean, unbelievable, gut-wrenching pain right there. And Megan nailed it. So,
well, and kind of getting back to what Henry says is, you know, they don't know who they are.
Right.
And I think a lot of times we think that once they figure out who they are, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But in that situation, when she found out who she really was, it was painful.
Well, yeah.
And then she realized the destruction that she had done. And so there's a flip side to it, you know, and in a way, you know, kind of going back to Lost is, you know, when let's say, what's her name? Evangeline Lilly. When Kate crash landed on the island.
Yeah.
No one really knew who she was. And right. So she had a time to flip it around and just kind of be happy, helpful Kate. Mm-hmm. But then they discovered what she had done.
Right.
And then they discovered who she really was. So it's that idea that, you know, people really know who you are. And so, you know, and again, we see it, the flip side of Red was the wolf. And then in Storybrooke, Ruby really kind of discovered who she really was and used it in a good way.
Yeah.
To help people.
Mm-hmm.
But in, you know, Fairy Tale Land, it was for evil, for bad.
Well, so. And that's the thing is that it was a curse of, it's a curse of sorts. So how is it that, you know, I mean, how is it that her curse can be broken? Because every curse can be broken, right?
Well.
So it'll be interesting to see how that comes about.
And she loved Peter.
She did.
And she kissed Peter.
Right. Love's kiss. But did she truly love him? Did he truly love her?
Well,
see, there's a difference between just a kiss and true love's kiss.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was tragic. It was very tragic, right. Actually.
So, but I really, I get a sense, it's kind of in this episode, but especially in the next one that we see, that it's really Hitchcockian, and I cannot wait. You know, they're really pulling out all the stops,
dude.
Wrong man.
It's getting
this and that.
It's getting dark.
Yep.
We've had the happy-go-lucky. Everything's been pretty, you know, somewhat. And now it's going dark. It's going real dark. I mean, this episode was very dark compared to the other ones.
Well, we're coming in for a landing too with the, you know, with the finale coming up for this season. So, but I just got to say again, thanks to Megan Ori for leaving a voicemail on the show. It meant so much. It meant so much to us and the listeners.
Yeah, it did.
You know, we had folks that joined us just for that, and I just want to thank you again, Megan, for that. That was really great.
Yeah,
and we think you did a fantastic, phenomenal job.
And, unbelievable. So, unbelievable. And so did Beverly Elliott, too, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Granny kicked it.
She is new on Twitter. So
she is, yeah.
That's really neat as well.
Yeah, and it was just, I'm telling you, this, and look, I'm a Rumpeldeary hardcore, but wow, he wasn't even in the episode. It was just still an epic, fantastic episode. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, that's it, I think.
Yeah,
you think so? That's all we got. So I'm going to put in the information to call in your voicemail, to send in your email.
Okay.
And we also have a link, if you look on the right side of the website, if you're out of the country and you still want to leave a voicemail, there are a number of ways that you can do that. So anyway, please avail yourself of that if you're in Canada, if you're in the UK, or if you're in anywhere.
Yeah,
in the world. So we really want to hear from you. You can record your message on your iPhone and email it in. We had Obie's girl do that, and she used YouSendIt.com. She recorded a wave. So there are a lot of different ways to get your message to us. So
yeah, there are definitely. It's not just a call in our voicemail. I mean, that's nice, but there are ways to get it through. So, and we love those.
Yep, so we will be talking to you later on this week.
Sounds like a plan.
See you guys.
Bye.